Good morning, everyone. We're about twice as many as last week. That's great. Somebody prayed this week. Amen. I saw lots of new people coming in after we made the announcement, so we don't want to skip anyone. If you're here for the first time and you have not received one of those little new first-time visitors packages, would you please put up your hand? If you, we'd just like to give you something. Is there anybody here that's not received it yet? Okay. Anyway, if you can go and collect it at the back also if you haven't received one yet. Yeah, amen. We had a foundation one yesterday. I was really blessed. Really blessed to have. It's not really new Christians that we had here yesterday, but it was still amazing to see all the people that God has brought to us, to our church, people that God wants to and can and wants to use mightily. We had also a small group on Wednesday, and everybody shared on what they feel, where God wants to use them. And when people started sharing, I had to start writing down because all the areas that we have a need in, are the people are there. They just need to be put into that need. So that's blessed. I just wanted to share that. Now, a few weeks ago, I can't remember, maybe a month ago, I shared on a topic that we must be ready for battle. And if you have, you know, it's all the shofar churches, we have this standing or understanding between us that every now and then when Pastor Fred preaches something with a significance, then we do try and communicate that to all the other churches. We don't copy his sermons, so please don't worry about that. But this issue or this topic that he preached about crossing over, where the Israelites were running around in the desert in circles for 40 years, and then Moses died, and then God told Joshua, okay, that was nice. Now can you please cross over? Because the game that I want you to play is not in the desert running around in circles. I actually gave you a promised land, and it's on the other side of the Jordan. So can you please cross it now? So for 40 years, they were probably not obeying God as much, but God said, now cross over. Now, I believe, and I don't know if it's collectively the Church of Christ, which is not only us, it's all the other churches, but that there is a crossing over. Now, what does that mean? Our rivers are quite easy to cross. It's just down here. It never flows. Did flow this year. I was there. But it's quite easy to cross. But that we're not crossing natural rivers, okay? In Namibia, that's quite easy. You do that. Maybe Namibians don't understand these chapters. Like, Lord, how difficult is it to cross a river? Well, drive to to the Orange River or to the north. It's not so easy. You know that the... okay, this is a bit of history. The Afrikaners, like me, some of them crossed over to Angola long ago, and then they came back. And apparently my grandmother was the story. So it's this story. I don't know if it's true, but she was in the first Osava crossing back over. It's great stuff, huh? So they knew how to cross over. Amen. But now, for us, what does it mean? Oh, that's very spiritual. We're going to cross over what? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to us? And I do think it collectively has a purpose, and it has a destiny for us, that as a church we should move to a new dispensation of just grace and the people coming in and getting to know God. But then personally it also means there's some stuff in our lives that we need to get over. We need to cross over. Amen. And I want to look at a few things. And it was blessed this week when we had intercession. Like all these things that God was telling us. And I wanted to preach about it. And it was just, it's just great that it fits in with everything that I want to say this morning. But there's a bit of a dilemma. Joshua 1 verse 1 to 4. Because you must understand that the Israelites, God's people, were used to the desert. They were used to staying on this one side. So crossing over for them meant it was a bit of a challenge, actually. It was quite a big challenge. It just didn't mean you must get your swimming lessons and cross oh, sorry, the river actually stopped so they could walk. They didn't have to swim. But it didn't just mean that. It was quite a challenge. God was telling them, and they always knew that all these people on the other side of the river are the Hittites and the Amorites and all those funny named people, but they were quite good when it comes to battles. So it wasn't like, let's cross over and let's go and chill out on the other side. We need to be ready to cross over because there are enemies on the other side, and the devil does not want us to get that side. Amen. Joshua 1 verse 1 to 4. So in our lives, God sometimes sends us in a direction and we don't really want to go there because it's going to be a battle. Now it came about after the death of Moses. Can you see we have a new projector? Building is painted, everything. And now you can see for a change. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead now. Therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Verse 3, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, which is there where Baghdad is. All the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. There in verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, basically God's telling him, go in, I know it's crazy, it's the wilderness, it's from here to there, it crosses rivers, it's vast. And for us nowadays, if you'd like to think in natural terms, it would almost be like a couple of years ago, God would tell us, go and take Rwanda, when there was the genocide. Do you remember that? It was like, no, we don't want to go there. You know, do you know what's happening there? It's, of what countries can you think that had civil wars? But it was almost like God sending you to a place where there's lots of animosity and fighting. So it's a real challenge for the Israelites, maybe for Joshua, Les, and Caleb, those guys, but to go into that land. And if you look at the book of Joshua, it wasn't just crossing the Jordan and it was finished. They had constant, Jericho was next, then they had constant battles that they had to win. Amen? Now I looked on, who of you know what Google Earth is? Hey, that's a wonderful tool. That's how they discovered a very good surf spot in Namibia. It's Google Earth. Anyway, I went in with Google Earth. You can zoom in. So I went to the river, Jordan. And then you can, with Google, you can do all these funny things. You can go onto the ground and look. But if you look from the Jordan and you look towards Jericho, you're in a valley. And there's mountains. Jericho is the first thing. And you know, if you look from a strategic point of view, people would always want to put themselves, if they have to be in a battle, on a mountaintop. Because you can attack from there downwards. You don't want to be at the bottom and attack up. So it must have been quite an intimidating thing. We're crossing this Jordan and you just see these mountains on the other side. First Jericho, but God's asking us to take that land. Can you picture this? It's not comfortable at all. And I think, and I believe, that as we're talking about this and God is doing stuff in our church and the small groups are growing and all of that, the one thing that I've realized is that the enemy does not stop attacking. And what is quite sad that I've realized now lately is the devil does not have to attack me to get to me. He can attack my wife. He can attack if I have a child, he can attack him because he's the smallest and the weakest link or whatever, but he'll affect me. Can you understand? So we have to be, we're at a stage where we always want the devil to leave us alone. I can tell you he's not going to leave us alone. And he's just going to get more strategic and he's going to come at us with more. But that's all right because we've got a God. But we need to be alert. You know, there's no more time, I'm sorry to say, where a husband does not pray for his family anymore. If you're moving with God, if you're accessing the promised land, the enemy is out there, so the husbands need to pray for their families. He needs to pray the blood of Jesus Christ over his children. Pastors need to pray for his people. Are you seeing? We must be alert because there are more there are bigger giants. They're not going away. It's not a holiday in Bali, Indonesia, when you cross over. It's bad stuff. Amen. Is everybody still with me? Mooi so. Now, what does that mean for a church? There are some stuff that we're going to have to overcome, but I also want to bring it closer. There are some personal challenges that God might call you to and say, listen, this thing has been your Achilles heel for 20 years now. Where we're going now, where we're going now with God, we need to sort this thing out now, please. Because this is going to be your weakest link. The devil's can we sort it out? But I don't know what it is for us individually, and I really feel that God is speaking to us all. Amen. So the first thing that I want to share is, now what? What were a church? Okay, Theo, you've had us no baie bang gemaak. We're very scared now, and what? How do we stop the enemy from entering? How do we do this properly? And the first thing that I want to share this morning is that I really believe each and every individual must buy into the vision of a local church, of something bigger, of God's purpose for their life, okay? There is no more place, I believe, for people to run off on tangents and it's just him that hears God. Nobody else can hear God with him. Nobody can correct him. Don't talk to me about God. You know, you get these funny people, I'm sorry to say, but they are the only ones that hear from God. Yes, I also hear from God. But if I say something and my elders say, Theo, I think you're really, yes, a bit demakar now. Then I must be humble enough to say, okay, oh yeah, maybe I'm not right. Anyway, my point is, we must buy into the vision. And this is not a rebuke, it's an encouragement to become part. Now in Joshua 1, just after verse 4, Joshua calls all the chiefs of the army together and he gives them specific direction and instruction. This is what we need to do. And then look at how they respond. Verse 16, they answered Joshua saying, all that you have commanded us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. There's a scene. Yes, I love this movie, Gladiator. But I know I've spoken about the one scene like probably 5 times here in church. I'm not going to bore you with that one again. There's another scene where, what's his name? Maximus. Have you seen the movie? You haven't seen Gladiator? Okay. Amen. We'll show it at Foundation 1. But there's a scene where Maximus and his buddies now get thrown into the arena. And they don't know each other, really, but they know they're in this thing together. Okay? So when they jump out there, at least Maximus has the ability to draw them closer and say, listen, we're not going to make it if you fight there and I fight here. That line is going to kill you. Come here. So they stand with each other and they fight and eventually they win. This is the kind of thing that needs to happen in church nowadays. We need to, when the attacks from the enemy start getting more fierce, we need to draw closer. We need to huddle together, like in the American football, they huddle in there. Anyway, rugby scrums. Oh, rugby yesterday. We're not going to talk about that. We won't go there because I need to be holy. But it is, I believe it's time for us to buy in. And what I've sensed, and okay, this is just something of Swakopmund that I believe is when people come to Swakopmund, and I remember a friend of mine who's in the AGS there in Windhoek, and he said when he came to Swakop, it was like he started losing commitment. Just faded away because it's the beach and it's cool and it's relaxed. And this is I can just tell you this morning, be aware of that thing. The devil tries to make you relax too much. And what I mean is spiritually relax. We must all relax and surf a little bit. But spiritually people start relaxing And this is exactly what should not happen. Draw closer together. Commit. And I'm not here to tell you, you know, commit and you must do 5 things in church spiritually. Just commit to a vision somewhere. Draw closer together. Amen? Like it. The second thing is, if you look at Joshua, you know, with this mic now, I want to get rid of my jacket, but all these wires are in the way, so I'll have to sweat. As the tribe of Israel, God's people, had to consecrate themselves. Joshua 3 verse 5. And remember, we're speaking something collectively here. I want the whole church to catch it collectively, but individually, I'm trusting that God will also speak to us. Joshua 3 verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. 5 verse 5, for all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. Now what does this whole aspect of consecration or circumcision mean? I just believe it means it's a setting apart. It's where we, and it happened before they went, they consecrated themselves, and when they crossed the Jordan, he said, now we're going to circumcise everybody. Don't worry, we don't circumcise nowadays. Men should say amen. It speaks of a setting apart. Of setting apart yourselves for a specific purpose. What does that mean to us? It doesn't mean we're all going to quit our jobs and I just go full-time ministry or whatever. It just means in the spiritual, your relationship with God, there comes a place where he says, you know, I'm sharing you with lots of other idols in your life. I'm sharing you too much with stuff that's not really from me. And I'm not trying to be religious here, but where God just wants to say, come and circumcise your heart. Come and just set yourself apart for me, for use by me specifically. Amen? We've got people in positions in the secular world, in our church, in amazing positions. Lord, set me apart. What do you want me to do there? What do you want me to accomplish there? I'm not just going to work. I go to work with a purpose. And we're not going to preach to everybody at wherever you work, but Lord, set aside. Romans 2 verse 29. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Deuteronomy 30 verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul so that you may live. You know, God didn't put these funny things in place to get circumcised, to look different, to be different. He said, he was basically speaking to them, I want the circumcision of your heart. I want you to be set apart. Why? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, so that you may live. So this morning I actually want to challenge some people here. If you battle in the area of commitment, and I don't want you to be around me and church all the time. I'm talking about a spiritual commitment to your Heavenly Father. Then it's time for us to become a bit serious with that and say, Lord, yes, I'm set apart. My heart must be circumcised. Jeremiah 4 verse 4. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds. Amen. Did you get those 2 points? Buy into the vision, commit, and consecrate or circumcise your heart. That's what God wants us to do. And I tell you, it's important for where we're going. Like I said, the weerstand, resistance from the devil is becoming more. It's not becoming less. Therefore, we need to huddle up. We need to draw closer to each other and consecrate ourselves. Okay. But now all of this, sometimes one just needs to look in perspective. Why crossing this Jordan? Why going to the promised land? Fantastic. What? To have a one, you know that Israel is actually in the desert. They say that what the Israelites manage with the desert of Israel, what they grow there, is quite amazing. But you know, it's not like, it's not Angola where this, or it's a bit of a desert. So what's this whole thing around going to the promised land? And what, you know, I need to see the bigger picture sometimes. I'm not happy with somebody telling me God's going to bless me. Yes, so why is he going to bless me? What's the purpose behind this? And there was really a purpose behind God telling the Israelites, I want you to go to the promised land. And I'm just going to give you some of the background here. But just before I do that, you know that sometimes we think that children, okay, now I don't have children yet. I've said that many times. Don't put pressure on me to get children now. Is that you can have poor kids, people that are poor. And then we would think, oh my word, they've got problems. They just need money and all of that. But go to rich people, very rich, that don't know God. And look at their children. I mean, I'm not saying in all cases. Do they have less problems? But they have money. They're not hungry. They're not worried about tomorrow. They're not worried about going to varsity. Do they have problems? Who thinks they have problems? Many of them. Why do they have problems? I think it's because of a lack of... They've got everything, but they don't feel that they've got everything. They've got this void inside that they don't know what's happening. And oh, it's fantastic. You look at all these shows on TV with all the celebrity kids and nonsense. They've got major issues. They always have to go to rehab and stuff. Why? Many of them don't have direction. Why am I on earth? Fantastic money, all right, that's sorted out. Doesn't take away the problems. And in the same way, for Christians, I'm talking about Christians also, and people that don't believe, we need to know where we're going. You know, it's one thing to get saved and know God. What now? And God had a purpose, I believe, with this Israel crossing over. Okay, and then I'm an evangelist, so maybe I'm a bit biased this morning, but please just forgive me. Genesis 12, verse 2 to 3. There was a whole promise and a plan, and I've said this probably in all my sermons. This was to Abram. God made this promise, and it was handed over to the generations because God had a plan in mind for Israel all along. And what I do think God wants us to realize with this crossing over thing is, I just want you to step into your destiny and your purpose. It's not about a nice little piece of property I'm giving you. It is going where I've called you to go. Achieving what I've called you to achieve. Amen. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. Fantastic. Why? And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. You know, if we think that church sometimes has a small goal mentality, God never has that. Praise Jesus. We must just look to Him. He has a bigger picture. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Exodus 3 verse 7 to 10. Now God speaks to Moses. The Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I'm aware of their sufferings. So I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittite, the Amorite, all those funny names. Now behold, the cry of the son of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I've seen the oppression with which the Egyptians have oppressed me. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt into the promised land. And then God speaks to Joshua. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I've given to them, to the sons of Israel. Okay, that was a lot said. But can you see from Genesis, God says, I want you to possess the land. I want you to be a blessing so that the other nations, the whole world can be a blessing, can experience me and my blessing through you. That's why I want to give you the promised land, so that you can now go and reach the rest of the world. It's not for us to have a little nice thing here happening. Can you see it? God always wants us to move on. And if we talk about crossing over and all these giants on the other side, have you noticed that in battles and in war strategies, if you're really down in the dumps, the best thing, you can ask a general or whatever, I haven't been in the army, sometimes the best defense would be to attack. It's not to sit and run away. We need to attack. Now, what does it mean if we as Christians should attack? We must just embrace the call of God to go and give the message of Jesus Christ to the world. It's not time to draw back. There are still millions. And you know what stuff that's happening now with Angus Buchan and all those people? It's fantastic. It's still not 40 million people in South Africa getting saved. It is just the beginning. What Angus is doing is great. What those people are achieving is great. But we're still not reaching the millions. They're not saved yet. They still worship whatever. So the time for us now is not to draw back and sponge up the blessing of God. The time is to dispense it. To trust God that people start coming in. Amen. Is it quiet because everybody's asleep or what? You're listening. Amen. Now we're getting to the good part. God wants us to stand in our authority. Can you hear it coming? God wants us to stand in our authority. God is challenging us and me to stand in the authority that we have. You don't need 5 years of Bible school to be used by God. Joshua 1 verse 3 and 5. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses in verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. And then verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. I want to bless you with this. I want to tell you that if you take the first step of becoming part of this bigger picture thing, God is going to You're walking in authority. You might not feel like it. You might not speak like it. But you are walking in authority. You are going with authority. If you buy into some vision somewhere and you say, I'm committed to this thing. Lord, what do you want to sort out in my life? Lord, who do you want me to reach? How do I approach work? How do I approach small group? How am I going to get that person saved? You're going to walk in authority. And why? God told Joshua weird stuff or, you know, if you had to tell me this, like go over, cross, go to those people. Jericho's first, that massive big city with the walls. That's the first one you're going to take. What? Me? Joshua? Yes, but be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land. God really wants us to walk in this authority. And you know what? I'm getting to the next point. It's not an authority that we have to muster up, that we have to, let's psych ourselves up and pray in tongues and, now we feel great and strong. No. It comes from God Himself. Joshua 5 verse 13 to 15. Okay, now I guess I have to call the worship team. You're going to play us a song, right? And then I also want, can we hand out the communion thing so long? Here in Joshua 5 verse 13 to 15, it says, Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? He said, "No, rather, I indeed come now as a captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. You see, at this point in time, Joshua probably, I don't know, felt like he was the man and he could do it and God has used him and the Jordan River stopped. Also looked at, the Bible describes where the Jordan stopped, where it shut up, and then where the water lifted up, it was about 30 kilometers further, where this whole Jordan was just this massive dam that was formed. So Joshua probably thought, "Whoa, yes, I'm the man. I can do all these things with God and through God." And God, yeah, an angel or Jesus Christ appears to him and says, "Listen, I come to you as the captain of the host of the Lord." And then Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord of hosts said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet." God appears to him and says, "Listen, I'm the captain here. I'm the man in charge. I'm the commander of the army. And you just basically have to follow me." Is everybody all right? And what I believe God wants to tell us this morning is, yes, we can walk in authority, but the greater authority that we have, if God speaks to you and God says, "Move in that direction," you move with His authority. You move with the commander of the army with you. And what happened next? Jericho. The walls just didn't fall over like this. They were, it was in the ground ingedruk. Amen. And there, I believe, when it comes to us as a church, embracing this thing, there comes a time where God wants to say, "I want to partner with you." Okay? You know, the Bible speaks about, and if you look at Paul, they just walked, and when the shadow fell on people, they got healed. Ah, amazing stuff, man. That stuff must happen. God wants us to happen, but it only happens if you partner with Him. If we partner with Him, and everything that we do, we say, "Lord, bless us. Bless this small group. Lord, I'm praying for that man to get saved. Use me. Lord, this man needs to get healed. You say we can lay hands on, they will get healed." If we walk in this authority, God can use us. And then the last thing, I was so blessed with that one song that you sang. It's a time for us to really find our shelter in God. It's a time where we cannot do things in our own strength anymore. God really wants us to, like the scripture, Psalm 91 verse 1 says, "He dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." There's greater danger, but there's definitely greater shelter and a closeness and an intimacy with God. And from out of that, I believe that everything will just flow. So, are you going to first sing and then? Okay, let's just pray for the elements. Lord, we thank you this morning. We want to embrace this, Lord. We want to just go to the next dimension and the next level with you. But Father, this morning we can't do it without sheltering with you, under your wing. And Lord, you know our anxieties, and you know what we struggle with and how this thing challenges us. But this morning we thank you that all things are possible, Lord, and because of your Son that died for us, we want to partake this morning in the elements, and none of this is possible. We can't enter into our purpose and our destiny and all of that stuff if Jesus did not die for us. And so this morning, Lord, we just want to bring to remembrance, think on it. We want to think back to that time when you died for us on the cross and when your body was stricken. And this morning we partake of the bread, Father, and we say, thank you that you put your body on the line for us. And Lord, we also thank you that it's only by the blood of the Lamb that we can enter the Holy of Holies. We can even have a relationship with you and the Father. And it's this blood that we want to just pray over us this morning again. To just cover our sins, to take them away, but to draw us into your presence, Lord. Because if without your blood we need to be washed by it, but without it we are filthy, we're full of sin. We need to be washed. And that we want to experience your presence. So we partake of your blood this morning and thank you, Father.
Let's stand and worship and thank God for what he did on, sent his son to die on that cross. When he went up onto that hill, he had each one of us on his mind. He's our Redeemer, our Savior, who sticks to us closer than a brother.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all